It seems like just yesterday that Los Angeles was lifting basketball's most coveted prize, and since then we've had the draft, trades, free agency, and luckily for us sports fans, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is here to kick off the 2021 basketball season with a no-brainer for all customers, new and existing. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you a plus 75-point spread on the team of your choice on opening night. That's right. All you have to do is bet on any opening night game, and if your team doesn't lose by more than 75 points, you will double your money. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code MHS when you sign up to get a plus 75-point spread on opening night for a shot to double your money. That's code MHS to get a shot at doubling your money on opening night for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Mace, how are you, my friend?
I'm all right. I thought you were getting ready to do a spot, so I was looking for the mouse for my laptop in my bag.
And so I was thinking of doing it, but I saw that you were rummaging through your man purse there, and I figured I would spring it on you. How are you doing?
It's a laptop case.
But by the way, how much loyalty do you truly have to UNC when you wear other universities? Like you're wearing Wisconsin today. You only get one. Just pick one and go with it.
My wife went there. It's a comfortable shirt. I mean,
No, you're repping. You're repping the Badgers. You rep North Carolina all the time. Pick a team and go with it.
Yeah. My blood, when you cut me, my blood has about four different colors. So, you know, but this is a nice shirt. My wife bought it for me, when she was in Madison a few months ago. It's a nice shirt. I'm not going to wear it, you know, just all because right. It's not one specific team. How are you?
That was a good segue. I'm great. I'm fantastic.
You seem great and fantastic.
Thank you for asking. I appreciate that.
Yes.
All right. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Okay, so many of you might remember that Brandon McManus was in contact with somebody who tested positive for COVID. So he went on like the 5-day mandatory list, which means he probably will not be able to play on Saturday. Could have played on Sunday, but might not be able to play on Saturday. With that, how big of a loss is this?
Depends how good Taylor Russolino is. If Russolino...
Good answer.
Yeah. It's valid. If Russolino goes out there and say he has a couple of extra points, a couple of field goal attempts.
Well, listen, and a couple, Russolino has to be better with his extra points than McManus was in the last game.
Yeah. But if he goes out there, he hits his kicks, his kickoffs get to the end zone for touchbacks. Then you didn't miss Brandon McManus at all.
Clearly.
So that clearly, that's what I mean.
But he's clearly. That's kind of like saying if Drew Locke doesn't play and Brett Rippon goes out there and tears it up, well, apparently we didn't miss Locke too much.
Well, performance is, you know, of the relief kicker, the relief quarterback, whoever is going to determine how much you miss that player.
Okay. Did the Broncos miss Garrett Bowles, a Pro Bowl left tackle, in the last game?
Believe it or not, that in the end, not as badly as you would have expected.
That's
because
my point.
Calvin Anderson played well. Would they have potentially done better? Yeah. But the other thing is with quarterback, it's a bit different because quarterback, you obviously, the more you play, the more you know the system, the more you know you have timing with the receivers you're throwing to. Kicker, it's such an individual task. I mean, obviously, you've got the holder and you've got the snapper, but the kicker, 90% of that is what the kicker does on his own now. The other 10% of that is if the snap is slightly off. Tom McMahon mentioned that one of the PATs that McManus missed last Sunday was due to, I guess, the laces not spinning at the right spot. And so I guess it was a case where the laces weren't out as they're supposed
to
be.
Well, by that metric, that completely goes against your argument of, well, it depends on how the other guy does, because McManus really doesn't depend on anyone. He essentially flying solo.
Well, no,
out
I said
there.
90%. There's that 10%, which is what came into play Sunday.
Right, and with
it's not going against what I said.
Well, with Garrett Bowles, a lot of it depends on, you know, what kind of coverages there are and things like that. So on the offensive line, you depend on your teammates far more than 90%. As a kicker, it's really more on you than anything else. So, yes, the easy answer is, well, if the other guy plays well, then I guess I really don't miss him. But the truth is, obviously, I get that. But the truth is, how important is Brandon McManus to this offense?
He's been arguably the MVP.
Well, then I guess they're going to miss him a lot.
Again, if
potentially.
If you replicate his performance, then you don't miss him. You're asking for one game.
Actually, you know what?
You're asking for one game out of Taylor Rusino.
I'm going to disagree. Yeah. You know why? Because if the conditions are good, I don't think Fangio is rolling the dice with a 50-yard field goal with this guy. So then, yes, it does change the game plan.
I would say probably not 50. I think 58 maybe is borderline. I think now, a 50-yard kick, you should expect any guy that you bring in to make more often than not.
Where's his Rusolino play?
Rusolino, actually, he had a 58-yarder playing for the St. Louis Battlehawks of the XFL.
Well, then I feel fantastic.
He was nine.
A guy
out,
playing
nine
in
out
a totally
ten.
Different minor league system.
Kicking is kicking, though.
Come on.
I mean, kicking is kicking.
Fine. Okay. Let's. It depends on how he does.
It depends how he reacts to the pressure.
I cannot believe we're going back and forth on this. I feel like you're just being argumentative. With that,
well,
You asked me. I'm just surprised by your answer.
I would argue you're being argumentative.
I don't think I am. Outside of Locke, is McManus the second most important player on offense, even though he's not considered an offensive player?
I'd put him below the Melvin Gordon Philip Lindsay running back combination.
So you'd put him ahead of Judy?
At this point, yeah. I mean, unfortunately,
how about Bowles?
Unfortunately, right now Judy is basically operating as a bit of a decoy because he's drawing the safeties
Understand that. At the end of the day, when McManus steps on the field, generally speaking, when the kicker steps onto the field, either the team has just scored or the Broncos have scored, and usually McManus is involved every single time. How's that? Every time he steps onto the field outside the opening kickoff of the first quarter or the third quarter, every time he's on that field, it is going to involve a Broncos score.
You could say that for every kicker in the NFL.
I understand, but if he's that important, maybe he doesn't step on the field as much if this guy is just shanking it all over the place.
Well, if he kicks on Saturday, if he comes out in warmups the way he apparently practiced, and by all accounts he did a good job in practice yesterday, if he practiced that way today, then I don't think you're going to see him try from 60, but I think you'll see him try from 50. I don't think it's going to change a lot of the Broncos' decision-making. Unless he comes out and misses a couple early.
How's he done as an NFL player?
He's never played in the NFL.
Oh.
And that's the whole thing. I'm sure
he's not going to be nervous.
And that's
at all.
The variable is how nervous you are. Now,
I can't imagine with all of that experience
him.
In the AFL, he will feel just fine going out there in an NFL game.
It might help him being in an empty stadium. He's not going to have 76,000 people staring at him.
No, it's going to, you know what's going to help more? Not that it's not a full stadium. He's going to be playing in front, he's going to be playing in a stadium that had as many fans as it did when he kicked that 58-yarder. So it might make him feel more comfortable.
There's something to the fact that, and this is true for any position, that this year playing in front of few to no fans has created a practice-like environment. And I'm fascinated to see if next year, assuming that full houses return, and based on the vaccine timeline, it would seem that's going to be the case, that there will be full houses for NFL games in 2021, if there are going to be some guys who had great seasons this year who come back to earth, that maybe they're guys who just function better in the practice environment than the actual game environment where you've got 60 to 70,000 people breathing down your neck and willing to scream at you for every mistake. It's the one thing, the one variable that I think you mentioned Garrett Bowles earlier. It's the one variable that I think is going to come into play with Garrett Bowles.
When it comes to the greatest field goal kickers in NFL history, the Broncos have three in the top 55. McManus, Elam, Prater. Who's the best of the bunch? Or do you want to throw in Treadwell, or do you want to throw in Carlos?
Well, you adjust for era because kickers have never been more accurate than they are right now.
Are you adjusting for... No.
Yeah.
No. You're not adjusting for era.
You're adjusting for era. Why? Because you're... Well, for one thing, and this... You've never
because
had...
Because players are stronger?
No.
The game hasn't changed. You're still kicking the ball.
The game actually has...
Have the goalposts gotten smaller?
The game actually has changed because a big part of kicking, as you know, is what kind of surface you're on. And we're in a day and age where rare is the non-pristine surface. Whereas you go back to, say, Jason Elam's era, he had
to hit off dirt sometimes.
He had to hit off dirt. He had Mile High Stadium, the field was never in
great
shape. Obviously, when they moved to the stadium, Invesco Sports Authority, Broncos / Empower Field. Now, since then, they've been kicking off a surface that is pristine more often.
Okay, so who are you taking? Who's your best?
And also, don't forget, with kickers, it's kind of like quarterbacks. You have more training involved. I'm taking Elam.
Yeah.
And I think if Jason Elam came of age today, he'd probably be like a 95% kicker.
This is going to sound like a dumb question. I know I'm setting myself up here. I know Jason Elam hit, what, a 62-yarder, 63-yarder?
63, tied the record.
But I think Brandon McManus has a stronger leg. No? I think he has a stronger leg. And Jason Elam is a personal friend of mine.
I would say Matt Prater has a stronger leg, actually, because the single best kick in Broncos history is Prater's 64 yards when I believe it was 9 degrees. So it was basically like kicking a brick 64 yards.
As far as field goal percentage, tops on the list in Broncos history in terms of their overall careers, Matt Prater. Why the Broncos gave up on him, I have no idea.
They gave up on him to save him from himself.
Yeah, that's true.
That was...
Yeah, he did have some problems.
That was the Broncos version of the Chris Carter cut by Philadelphia.
Boy, you got a good memory is exactly what I was going to say.
Remember Buddy Ryan said all he does is catch touchdowns because he wanted Chris to get the help that he needed.
Right, good
He
point.
Didn't want to throw him under the bus.
Excellent point.
And he went to Minnesota, he cleaned up his life, and he had a Hall of Fame career. Yeah. Look, it sucks that it worked out that way because Matt Prater, you're not worried about the kicking with him.
Right.
But they had to do that for him, and it worked out because the Broncos did find McManus pretty quickly.
Woke up this morning and read a story about a proposal for the College Athletes Bill of Rights in college football. And my goodness, it has some things on this list that college football players and all college athletes have been begging for years. And now the federal government wants to get involved to make this happen. And when I say the federal government, I'm including the President of the United States. And this has been proposed by two senators. What are these things on the list? Every time I read down the list, Andrew, I'm like, wow, this can't happen. Wow, they've been wanting this for years. Wow. That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. If you're looking for great deals on beer, wine, and spirits, you need to go to Bubbles Liquor World in Castle Rock right now. Bailey's Irish Cream Gift Set, 750-milliliter bottle, $29.99. Mention you heard on the show, $26.99. I could use some of that in my coffee every day. Also, Bubbles, proud to introduce Intercept Wines by Charles Woodson. Yes, that Charles Woodson. Intercept Cabernet, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Red Blend regularly, $20.99 on sale. Now for $16.99 for a limited time. So Christmas is coming up. You might have some people over. They deliver, man. Within a 15-mile radius of Castle Rock, they deliver. You're going to be doing a lot of shopping. Let Bubbles deliver to you. I've had them deliver to you, and I got to tell you, the first time they did it, I'm thinking, where has this been all my life? Liquor being delivered to my house. It was awesome. Bubbles Liquor World, great selection, great prices. That's Bubbles Liquor World in Castle Rock. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Advanced Tax Solutions. If the IRS is coming after you for back taxes, you need to work with Advanced Tax Solutions. Find them at AdvancedTaxSolutions.com.
This is going to take a bit for me to get through, Mace. Can you be patient with me? Because there's a lot to get to.
When am I not patient with you?
You actually always are. I'll be the first to tell you that. The College Athlete Bill of Rights has been proposed by Senators Cory Booker and Richard Blumenthal, both Democrats, which would create sweeping changes for college sports, including provisions that would force some schools to share revenue with some of their athletes, guarantee lifetime scholarships to athletes in good academic standing, establish health and safety rules enforced by hefty fines for violators, and set up a fund to cover some out-of-pocket medical expenses for current and former athletes. If you think that's a lot, there's a lot more to this. The rules and requirements laid out in this bill would be enforced by a newly formed Commission on College Athletics, which would be run by a 9-member board who are appointed by the President of the United States. Government getting involved. Here are some of the highlights. College athletes would be allowed to sign endorsement deals with a wide variety of companies. Players have wanted that forever. Athletes would be able to sign deals with apparel brands that compete with their school's apparel brand, but the school can require them to wear school-sponsored gear during any mandatory team event. The exception is footwear. They can wear sneakers whenever they want to, whatever they want to, even if it's in a game. Athletes in sports that generate more revenue than the total amount of money that is spent on scholarships in that sport would be entitled to share 50% of that money after the scholarships are paid. Oh, schools are going to love that. Athletes would be allowed to hire agents. Schools would be required to contribute annually to a medical trust fund to cover the cost of medical care for injuries related to that sport, and they'd be eligible to get that 5 years after their college career ended. Schools would be required to continue paying an athlete scholarship until they finish their undergrad degree, as long as they maintain a 2.2. And athletes would be allowed, get this, to transfer schools with facing no penalty. That's not the rule right now. And athletes would be able to enter a draft for their professional sports league of choice without losing eligibility. Wow. I'm reading this morning. I'm thinking this is like Santa's wish list for college athletes.
Yeah. And the proposal that the Republicans are backing would allow athletes to generate income based on their image and likeness. So
does this become this, like COVID and everything else? Does this become does this become partisan as well?
Yeah, but this is the wish list. I think if there's going to be a bipartisan bill, it's going to end up somewhere in between
right
on this. Like, for example, take the draft, okay? Now, you're actually going to have to work with the pro sports on this.
Right.
Because I would imagine that the pro sports would want to have something like this that said, okay, if you go back to school, fine, but if we draft you, we keep your rights. And think back to
right.
Larry Bird in 1978.
Well, that was the great Red Auerbach heist, wasn't it?
Yeah. I believe they picked, what, seventh?
Yeah.
In the 78 draft, and the Celtics selected Larry Bird, knowing they couldn't get him for a year.
Right.
And then he plays out his season in Indiana State. They go to the NCAA championship game, and Red signs Larry Bird, and the Celtics are instantly
revived. How do you think this one's going to fly? Athletes in sports that generate more revenue than the total amount of money that is spent on scholarships in that sport would be entitled to 50% of that money left after the scholarships are paid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
That's not, and I can tell you why that's not going to happen.
I can tell you why it's not going to happen, because it's not going to happen.
Well, the other thing is, it is the revenue from those revenue sports
that pays everything else.
That pays for everything else.
Right.
And so if you do that, then if you did this, a lot of schools would drop out of college athletics because they wouldn't be able to afford to have Title IX compliance. I mean, there's a, you know, you get beyond football and basketball, and then, you know, those are the revenue sports at most schools. There are some schools for which women's basketball is a revenue sport, baseball, even gymnastics or hockey. But in general, the reason why you get beyond those two sports and then you look and see more women's sports than men's sports is because you have to have Title IX compliance, and basketball and football is paying for those scholarships.
Here's one thing that ties into other things. Athletes would be allowed to hire agents. I've never understood why they can't hire agents, but they can't. With that, what does that tie into? Signing endorsement deals, right? Mm-hmm. It ties into that. It also ties into entering the draft. Ties into that as well. But here's the thing, and this is where it gets really tricky. I read it verbatim. College athletes would be allowed to sign endorsement deals with a wide variety of companies. Sounds pretty benign, doesn't it? Signing with Nike, Under Armour, a pizza place, you know, Domino's Pizza. Sounds benign, doesn't it? It's not. It's not.
Well, you basically look at college basketball, for example. And even in high school, you have like, you have a player plays for a certain AAU team. Well, let's say the AAU team is an Adidas team, and they're already trying to steer them to an Adidas school. You've already got the athletic, even more benign than that. You've already got the athletic shoe companies that are, you know, that are basically, you know, with their seat at the till here.
I agree with you that there are Adidas schools and Nike schools,
right?
But I'm going to read it the way it is, and I'm going to read it the way it should be. College athletes would be allowed to sign endorsement deals with a wide variety of companies. That's the way it reads. This is the way it should read. College athletes would be allowed to sign endorsement deals with a wide variety of national companies. And national is the key word, because let's say there is a five-star recruit out of California, and Siltahar Motors in Broomfield says, we're going to give you a $3 million endorsement deal if you go to Colorado. That's where it gets tricky.
Well, that's what's going to happen. I mean, all of a sudden,
that's why it has to be national.
And
it can't, because I can promise you, every Ford dealership in Alabama is going to be falling all over itself.
Yeah. You think the rich are rich now? Imagine a scenario where, you can take basketball. Imagine a scenario where North Carolina, Duke, Kansas Kentucky are getting everybody, because you've got your car dealership, you've got your restaurant chain. I mean, what is to stop, say in North Carolina, what is to stop Bojangles Chicken and Biscuits, a big chain in the Southeast, from saying, oh, you know, you come play for the Tar Heels, you're going to get a $500,000 annual endorsement check.
I wouldn't go to North Carolina to get an endorsement deal with Mr. Bojangles if I'm a basketball player. I'm going to play North Carolina basketball because, as it has been well documented, you don't take any real classes when you go to North Carolina.
Well, no, that's
That's North Carolina.
No, that's not relevant. That's not the conversation.
North Carolina is a great school. That's not. But when it comes to the basketball players, hey,
we're going to teach you how to sew.
That's not the conversation. We'll give you 8 credits.
But you missed the point. That's not the conversation we're having.
I know your point.
Yeah, I get your point. I mean that, and that's what you would see.
But academically, I'd still go there.
Yeah, and that's what you would see. The big programs for whom it'd be worth it for a company to say, hey, let's get all these players endorsing us every year. Let's build, you know, you're sitting here and you said like an auto dealer. What would stop a strong, successful, regionally based company from saying, boy, oh boy, why don't we invest our endorsement resources into Colorado football and have these players pitching our products, making appearances on our behalf? And that's where we're going to go with it. And all it would take is one or two outlets like that for every major program. And so that the gap between the haves and have-nots, which is great as it is, it would only increase because of this. Like you said, in Alabama, if you're Alabama's players, every last one down to the third team would probably have some kind of endorsement paying his way.
On a side note, is there really a place in North Carolina called Mr. Bojangles Chicken and Biscuits?
It's not called Mr. Bojangles.
Good, because that's as racist of a term as the old restaurant called Sambo's.
The restaurant is called Bojangles, and it is
it is
based in Charlotte, and it goes, I think, as far as Arkansas.
Of course it continues to go south.
And I think it goes as far north as like Pennsylvania.
I don't know about that. I don't think it goes north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Let's take a look and see.
Yeah. Is there a Confederate flag hanging out front?
Oh, come on.
Dripping with gravy?
Oh, come on.
All right, coming up after.
They are in Pennsylvania, by the way.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Isn't that where the Underground Railroad started?
It started in the South. It ended in Pennsylvania.
There you go. Maybe that's why it's there. Maybe there's a lot of symmetry going on there.
They're in Illinois, too.
Coming up after the break, PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan says he doesn't think it's necessary for golfers to get the vaccine. Really? Should they be forced to get the vaccine? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Granite Liquidators Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to GraniteLiquidators.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to MountainHighAppliance.com.
All right, Mace, PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan says he does not think that golfers, caddies, or officials of the PGA will be required to get vaccinated for COVID-19, saying it will be an individual choice for everyone and that there is still a lot to know. Should they be forced to get a vaccine?
Yes, they should. This isn't talking about going out and being able to, you know, go to the grocery store or whatever. This is part of being in a professional sports organization and being around others. And
well, they're not part of an organization.
They're the PGA Tour.
Golfers are independent contractors.
But the PGA Tour is a private organization that's organizing the tournaments. And the PGA Tour would have a right to say the vaccine, that is the ticket. That's the ticket for admission to our tournaments. And if you don't want to get vaccinated, then we have the right to tell you that you can't be a part of this tournament.
Okay. I don't want to take this to a spot where it doesn't necessarily need to go, because you and I are agreement on this.
But. You are anyway.
Well, I want to be, I understand there is a difference, okay, between COVID and the flu. But a lot of people die of the flu as well. Shouldn't they be forced to get flu shots?
You wonder if that's going to be something that comes up in the future, quite frankly.
I mean, I can't imagine that when you play on the PGA Tour and you're filling out your form, it asks, have you been vaccinated for tuberculosis?
But they
or polio.
But there are sometimes
now, polio is not contagious.
Right, but there are sometimes you are filling out forms that say, have you been vaccinated for measles, for rubella, for tuberculosis.
Right. What is rubella anyway?
Something. I think
it sounds like something you put on peanut butter on a sandwich.
That's Nutella.
Oh.
It's a German measles.
The German
or
there are different types of measles. The measles and the German measles.
They call apparently this form of measles. It can cause mild or no symptoms for most people, but for unborn babies whose mothers are infected during pregnancy, it causes serious problems.
So are you saying, you suggesting that if somebody filled out their card and they said, I have not been vaccinated for the measles, the PGA Tour would actually say to them, you can't play until you get this vaccine? Because I don't think that would happen.
I don't think it would happen. I'm saying it would be within their rights to do so.
It would be in their rights.
I don't think it will.
But then you're cherry picking vaccines, aren't you? Got to get this one, but this one's okay.
Some are considered greater threats than others. I mean, let's face, part of the thing with COVID is that when you have the novel coronavirus, it is highly contagious. That's why.
Flu's contagious too. Not as many people have died. I get it. But at the end of the day, people do die from the flu.
Well, there's a site you say, where's the line? I mean, do you draw a line? The point is the line is drawn somewhere or you're not drawing it at all. I mean, so yeah, the line is probably drawn between COVID, which is more highly contagious than strains of flu. It's probably drawn between the two. The other thing also with the flu, even though the strains change a bit from year to year,
right.
Generally speaking, we have a better grip on treatment and we have a better grip on the potential complications of it.
Okay.
With COVID, that's something that we still don't have a grasp on. Blessedly, we have we have vaccines in place, but we don't have a grip on all the complications, all the consequences of it. I mean, I read about somebody today who had limbs cut off as COVID complications. Someone was perfectly healthy.
So, quoting here from Monahan, there's still a lot to know. I'm going to throw this scenario at you. My fiance's mother is allergic to penicillin. She's allergic to it. My mother-in-law, I should say, my ex-wife's mother, is allergic to Novocaine. What would happen if we find out that there could be serious complications from getting this vaccine?
And this is part of what we don't yet know. You hear about the term herd immunity has been thrown out a lot this year, right? The point is herd immunity comes after enough people get the vaccine to where you've reached the point where it's not spreading to the degree that it's spreading right now.
Right.
So for herd immunity, not everybody has to get the vaccine. But I could see a scenario where in a year or two that vaccines maybe aren't part of the price of admission of playing.
No, I'm going by what you said. Let's say it's available to everybody in July. We're getting ready for the British Open. Everybody has it available to them. You just said not playing. If you don't get it.
Yeah. It's the PGA Tour's right to do that as a private organization.
I understand it's their right, but what happens if somebody is allergic to it? Then do they not get to play? They make an exception?
You probably have to make an exception and have them literally quarantine from the rest of the golfers.
What do you mean quarantine?
I mean, they had their a separate locker room, probably being made to keep their distance on the course.
You actually kind of already are keeping your distance on the course.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, not necessarily. Sometimes you'll see guys kind of casually walk near each other, you know, when they're on the green, that sort of thing.
Maybe what
you're saying for that golfer, if they say, okay, I can't take it because I have a concern about an allergy. Literally, that golfer is playing by themselves, by oneself. Doesn't have a playing partner.
Well, that could be a competitive advantage, couldn't it? You're not waiting, playing your game.
Well, we're dealing with all sorts of situations that are less than ideal right now. I mean, look at what the Broncos had to play with a few weeks ago. So I don't think somebody...
You think it's going to be a mandate in the NFL? You have to get a vaccine?
I think it's definitely going to be a mandate in the NFL.
You think so?
Yeah.
Think players' union is going to agree to that?
What percentage of the players do you think will go along with that? I mean, this is one of
I don't know. If it's a mandate, it's a mandate. But then again, you have to argue, you have to negotiate in the CBA. And I'll tell you where it's going to be a big problem, huge problem, where there's always a problem, Major League Baseball. You better believe it's going to be a problem in Major League Baseball because their union is so powerful. And they would, the union and the owners in baseball, if both sides were well fed, I mean a gluttonous amount of food, they would find a way to fight over the final slice of pizza in the box.
Well,
that's just the way they are.
The other thing is also that's interesting. I think, again, where's the line? It's somewhere. It's probably between COVID and the flu. The NFLPA did fight back at the idea of making the flu vaccine mandatory, even though it is encouraged and the teams provide it for players.
Right. I can promise you there are a lot of, as we know, we got to hit a break. In an NFL locker room, it is incredibly diverse, just like it is generally speaking. Like the most diverse locker rooms, probably in order, might be hockey first because of all the different countries, and then baseball second.
About the NBA.
Because of all the different, I mean, all
the NBA
of them
is
are.
Right there with hockey.
All of them are. Okay. Yeah. Let's just paint a broad stroke. All of them. Politically, it would probably be the most diverse in an NFL locker room because it tends to be all Americans. So you have your anti-maskers, you have your anti-vaxxers. How do you think some of those guys are going to take that?
Well,
I don't know if they will.
The other thing on the flu flu vaccine, whether it should be mandated or not, the NFLPA is always going to ask, well, what's in it for us? Well, here's something that may come up on a COVID vaccine. What's in it for us? Well, maybe the league, as a give back, says, all right, you know what? Marijuana, we've pulled back a lot of the rules. Marijuana's off the table now. It's
should
legal.
Have been off the table.
Do what you want. That's the kind of thing that might push it to get done.
What do I have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Week 15 of NFL action starts this evening. We'll preview that Thursday night football game. Also, Gil Brandt ranked his top candidates for Coach of the Year. We'll discuss those after the break right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word.
Are you ready?
Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, tonight's Thursday night football game will be the Chargers versus the Raiders from Las Vegas. Thoughts on this matchup between AFC West foes tonight?
Well, I mean, the Raiders fired their defensive coordinator, Paul Gunther, after rapidly declining results. And the thing is, the Raiders' defense doesn't have to be great. Las Vegas' offense, they've scored at least 27 points, five of the last six games, four of the last six. They've scored 31 or more. So, I mean, it's testament to just how bad the Raiders' defense has been that they've been sliding despite putting a lot of points on the board most weeks. The question is, Eric, how much do you think firing Gunther is going to shake things up for the Raiders, and will it be enough to save their season?
I'm going to take your question and turn it into another question. The question is, what do you think of Wade Phillips saying on Twitter, I'd love the Raiders' job?
Can you blame him?
No.
He wants back in.
How much better would they be with Wade Phillips?
Wade Phillips being the Raiders' defensive coordinator in 2021 would be extremely bad news for the Broncos.
It'd be a boon. It would be Las Vegas.
It would be huge for Vegas if he
got... It'd be a 21.
It'd be a straight flush. The thing is, every place Wade Phillips has gone in his first year, the defense has improved by massive leaps and bounds. That's the Wade Phillips way. That first year, every year, there's a huge impact. If he goes to Vegas, frankly, I would expect the Raiders to win 11 or 12 games next year.
It would be three cherries.
Oh, gosh. We're going to keep going there.
Just in case you missed it, Gil Brandt ranked his top candidates for Coach of the Year on NFL.com. And the top three were at number three, Brian Flores of Miami, at number two, Kevin Stefanski of Cleveland, and at number one, Ron Rivera of Washington. Who is your 2020 Coach of the Year in the NFL?
In a normal year, the fact that Kevin Stefanski was about to get the Browns to the playoffs for the first time in 18 years would be a slam dunk. But given everything around the Washington football team, given everything that Ron Rivera himself has endured dealing with cancer this year, the fact that they are sitting here now with 3 weeks to go, and yeah, it's a bad division, but they're sitting here at 6-7 with a chance to be a very good chance to be a playoff team, I think you give them the award right now, no matter what the football team does in the next three games. It's amazing that they're sitting where they are.
And a guy who started a quarterback for them this year almost died. Other than that,
Alex Smith is the comeback player of the year.
I'm saying
the fact that he got back out there.
The guy who played quarterback for their team this year almost died, yet he still played football.
By the way, something that Gil Brandt brought up: the last coach to be Coach of the Year without making the playoffs was Jimmy Johnson in 1990. Now it's in Washington's hands, but remember, if they fall back by a game, they lose the tiebreaker with the Giants. So they can't afford to slip up right now.
And Giants expected to be again without Daniel Jones this weekend, so we'll see how that plays out for them. Just in case you missed it, Bo Bichette of the Toronto Blue Jays said on the Big Swing podcast, quote, I think DJ LeMahieu is the best hitter in baseball, and I don't even really think it's close from what I've seen. Who is the best hitter in baseball, in your opinion?
Mike Trout. And I'll keep giving that answer for as long as he plays. Until he becomes Albert Pujols and can't hit anymore.
Do you think he might age better than Pujols did, though?
No idea.
Because Pujols, when the Angels gave him that contract, they weren't forecasting that he was going to fall off the cliff when he got to age 32, 33, and basically be an anvil in their lineup. Now, he's been capable of decent power numbers, but his average is terrible, and he ends up dragging down a lot of rallies. But
I think you'd say about Mike Trout, he is the best player in baseball because he does everything. But honestly, to compare Mike Trout to Albert Pujols is unfair. Because during the 10-year stretch of Albert Pujols' career, he wasn't just better, he was much better.
Had a better team around him, too, and that helped.
He was much better.
Yeah.
He was much better.
He had a better team around him. He had a little more protection in the line. Because, look, Mike, if Albert Pujols had aged better, he would have provided protection from Mike Trout.
I understand that.
It didn't work out that way.
Pujols' 10-year stretch, his first 10 years in the league, I don't know if you can compare anybody's numbers to him in Major League history. Now, the problem with that statement is we're comparing eras, right?
Right.
We're comparing eras. But for anybody listening at home or watching at MileHighSports.com, just for fun, you're thinking Albert Pujols, one of the best hitters in baseball history. go look at a 10-year stretch, his first 10 years in the league, and you'll be like, how come I didn't know this about this guy? That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, Christmas is coming up. Give yourself a gift or give somebody else a gift of something that they're going to use forever and love forever, and that is great appliances at Mountain High Appliance. They can help you design a whole kitchen there. They can help you get some high-end, something to fit your budget. No one does like Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville. You can find them in Littleton, and you can also find their clearance store in Denver. Coming up after the break, why has the Broncos often struggled? Pat Shurmur has one word to tell you why this offense has struggled. You'll hear from him next. Lady Madonna.